start this message. Could be, I don't know how many parts, but the title is The Pursuit of Life Without God. The pursuit of life without God is meaningless. The pursuit of our dreams, our visions, without God is emptiness. I will ask us, how do you look at riches? What side do you give to riches or achievements in life? Things that we have been able to achieve in life. How do you look at these things? How much time have you taken to dwell on your riches, to enjoy your life achievements? Is it wrong to be rich or to be wealthy? What do you think the Bible has for us as pertaining to the way we should look at achievements in life, the way we should look at our dreams, the way we should look at riches, the way we should look at wealth? What do you think the Bible has for us pertaining to this? I want to look into the scriptures with you, and we shall read some places in the Bible that are not going to be projected on the screen. I would like you to open with me to those places. We'll read those places as introduction to this message, and then we'll go into the mind of Solomon to see wealth, to see riches, to see life achievements, and to see the outcome of this. If you pursue life, you pursue your dreams, and you leave God behind, you are a fool. If you pursue life, you pursue it so much, you pursue achievement, anything that you desire, your visions, you pursue these things, and then you allow God to be behind the scene, is foolishness. And we will look at the life of Solomon, and this message is, I have a kind of passion for this message, and I want to drive this message home so much that by the end of this message, then we'll be able to realize that whatever you have achieved, any level you may be, either in education, either in riches or wealth or whatever you call it, success, it's all by the grace of God. Your achievement will make a great difference if you allow God to reign and take glory in these things. Matthew chapter 6, in the message of Jesus on the Mount, like I told you, Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, these chapters are just the summary of the entire Bible, the summary of life, how you should look at life and some things in life. Matthew chapter 6, if you read from verse 19, Jesus laid emphasis on the way we should stack our wealth or properties in this life to be meaningful, the way we should invest, the way we should look at achievement and riches and wealth and everything that we have. Say, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. You know, we have physical, thieves, we have spiritual thieves. And Jesus here is talking about what you should do, how you should look at wealth, how you should look at riches. If you have wealth, if you are rich, if you have any opportunity, if you are talented, and you keep all these things to yourself alone, there is no wisdom in this. At the end of it all, you will lose all. If all that you have is only in this world, Apostle Paul said, if our hope is only in this world, If you trust in the riches of this world alone, of all men, you are the most miserable. Because at the end of it, you will lose everything. And Jesus said, anyone who keep his life will lose it. But anyone who can lose his life for his sake, we do what? We gain it at the end. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasures is, there your heart will be also. If you trust in riches, if you trust in your achievement, if you put your mind and every time you just take time to enjoy alone all that you have, and you don't put anything aside in heaven for yourself, even when you get into heaven, you will be disappointed. You will get in there, it's okay. That may be the only gain you will have. But how about the gifts and how about what are rewards? There's the banner seat of judgment where Christians will appear to receive all they have done in the flesh. When we tell you to walk with God with all that you have, it's the best you can do. So as we continue to read this as introduction, and we go to the mind of Solomon as to how you should see all these things. When we tell you, pay your tithe, walk with God with your money, use your talent for the Lord, use your time, glorify God, don't trust in riches, don't trust in your wealth. It's just the best thing you can do. When you walk with God with your riches, when you walk with God with your money, you are laying for yourself in heaven treasures where stock market will not rock it, where thieves will not go and steal. It's well secured. And you will meet it when you get to heaven. Luke chapter 12. From verse 13. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus, this person just came to Jesus and said, "Come on, Rabbi, you are the teacher. Tell my brother, let him divide this thing with me, the inheritance. Let him divide these treasures with me." And look at what Jesus said. But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" You turn my vision to something else. You want me to, who had made me judge over you people? And Jesus told him, and he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Your life does not consist on your riches alone, does not consist on your achievements. Not abundant of what you have. Some people, they so much trust in their retirement, they so much trust in their riches, they so much trust in their achievement that they don't understand the fact that everything comes from God and God does whatever he likes with all. The pursuit of life without God is emptiness. It's total waste of time. And it's vanity. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Paul told Timothy to take notice of this in his letter, his first letter to Timothy. If you look at chapter 6, verse 17, Paul said to Timothy, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to what? enjoy. Do not trust in your riches. Be able to walk with God with your riches. Be able to release to God what you have. We don't need to, you know, force you or teach and teach and teach before you know that you need to give to God. In fact, God owns all you have. I need not to spend too much time to teach you about paying your tithes, paying your offering, giving unto God your time, giving unto God your talent, giving all to God your treasures. I need not to spend too much time to tell you this. You need to have this understanding. Because if you give to yourself all these things, then you are selfish and you're going to lose it all at the end. Everything comes from God. Do not trust in riches, achievements. Look at Mark chapter 4 before we go to Proverbs. Mark chapter 4, verse 19. Mark chapter 4, verse 19. Hello, somebody? Good. I want you to enjoy this message. The pursuit of life without God is vanity. Mark chapter 4, verse 19. I'm going to read from here. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in shock the world, and it becomes unfruitful. Sometimes when you listen to the word of God, when you listen to messages in the church, on the altar here, or through any means or medium, and then you allow the cares of this world to occupy your heart. You allow the deceitfulness. You know, riches sometimes is so deceitful. Some people, they think because they have this, they have that, and so on, they don't need God. If you allow this kind of thing to reign in your heart, it will shock the word of God in your heart. You will not be able to apply the words into your life. You will think that you have enough. Why do I need God? I have money. I have all that I can buy. I can get anything I want. Why do I need God? Only those that are poor, we seek God. Only those that are in need, we go to God. Deceitfulness of riches. The cares of this world usually can shock the work of the word of God in our heart and not allow this to be fruitful. Do not allow riches that you have to deceive you. Do not allow the achievement that you have in this life deceive you. God has all these things and is in charge of all these things. He owns all these things. If you don't walk with God with what you have right now, at the end, listen to me, you will lose it. You will lose it. And that will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Let's see Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Everything that we have comes from God. Everything. And God will release those things to us as he thinks we need them. Romans chapter 11, I want to read from verse 33. The depth of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For all of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. You must give God the glory for any achievement you have. It's God that holds all these things. You must not trust in these riches. You must trust in God who gives power to get wealth. Amen. And if you trust in God, who gives power to get wealth, who gives power to achieve anything in this life, then you will be able to give this thing back to him. Because in the first instance, you never put your trust in these things. You never depend on these things. You depend on God. So if God asks you, give it back to me, then you can easily give it back to God. But if you trust in these things, if the whole of your life depends on these things, then it's going to be so difficult for you to release it to God when God asks of it. Do you get the message? The pursuit of life without God is vanity. I'm telling you today, the pursuit of any education, the pursuit of any certificate, the pursuit of any degree, the pursuit of any business without God is vanity. It's emptiness. It's nonsense. There is no sense in it. Proverbs 11, verse 28. Proverbs 11, verse 28. I don't know where you are standing now. I don't know what you are thinking. I don't know what you are pursuing. But if you do all without God, you are not wise. Verse 28. Proverbs 11, verse 28. He who trusts in his riches will fall. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like the palm tree. Righteous must flourish. It's the heart of righteousness to give God glory for all that you have. It is the heart of righteousness to give back to God what he has given you. It's the heart of unrighteousness to struggle with God for all these things that you have that he has given you. It's an heart of unrighteousness that they have to beckon on you, they have to beg you to work with God, to handle projects, they have to talk to you and talk to you and talk to you, and you hold these things as if it's yours. If you trust in riches, you will fall. Not only physical fall, even spiritual one. Now, let us look at achievement in life through the mind of Solomon. And who is this person called Solomon? That will fail me to tell you the whole history about Solomon, but we'll take little time to see the Bible and see some things about Solomon so that when you read anything he said, in this message, we go to John Ecclesiastes chapter 1, we go to end it in chapter 12. You see why Solomon said all these things he wrote in Ecclesiastes. He had all that you can ever imagine. He was blessed by God. And where was the beginning of Solomon's blessings? Why did God bless Solomon so much? Solomon was so wise that people were coming to listen to him. The Bible recorded, as we're going to read in the Bible today, in this introduction, that Solomon wrote 3,000 parables. 3,000 parables. Try to write one. Try, sit down. Don't copy, don't go to the internet or don't copy all these things. Sit down and try to write a parable. You know what we are talking about. It's no joke. He wrote 3,000 parables. You go to see. And then Solomon wrote 1,005 songs. 1,005 what? How many songs have you written? All that you have been singing were written by somebody. He wrote 1,005 songs. This man was so wise. We're going to read in the Bible. I'm just giving you the preambles because we want to read and read together. So for you to see, when Solomon was talking, you know why he was saying all these things. When he started his words in the Ecclesiastes, and he ended it in the fact that our duty is to God. You know why he said all these things? Solomon had 700 wives, 300 concubines, 1,000 women at his disposal. It's no joke. We're going to see the scriptures. Anytime, I don't know. Maybe I should take you there as we journey. We'll see that. When Solomon is going to feed people in his house, how much money he has to spend. Just one day. But let's begin to see the scriptures about Solomon. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. Listen, the pursuit of God. If you pursue anything in this life, you leave God behind. You don't listen today, you're going to regret it. You don't listen today. You want to be this, you want to be that, and you allow God to be behind the steering, behind the seat. You don't allow him to occupy the front seat and be the driver of your dreams. It's Titanic. Second Chronicles, chapter 1. Second Chronicles, chapter 1. I think you remember that Solomon reigned after David. You remember that? You may not be able to read that. Solomon was the son of Bathsheba, the Hittite, right? You remember Uriah? It was the grace of God that made Solomon to reign after his father. Because David did that which was terrible by taking Bathsheba. Uriah was in the war front, and David had a adulterous relationship with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, before Uriah came back from the war front. And David tried as much as possible to make this man go back home, and he tried everything. Uriah will not go back. And eventually, David planned his end. And after he died, the child Bathsheba had with David died also. But David went back to God, and out of God's mercy, he was forgiven. And one of the reasons why we have to understand that God forgave David totally was the fact that the same woman that had this problem or was in part of this heart of wickedness that David did by killing Uriah, this same woman was the one that produced the next king. All those women that were married normally and this were not able to produce. So she was the one that was able to produce the next king after David. And this man Solomon started very well. Bible recorded in this place, we are going to read that after he was enthroned and he occupied the throne of his father, as I'm going to read, let's just read together. Now Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and exalted him exceedingly. And Solomon spoke to all Israel, to the captains of thousands and hundreds of, to the judges and to every leader in all Israel, the heads of the fathers' houses. Then Solomon and all the assembly with him went to the high place that was at Gibeon, for the tabernacle of meeting with God was there, which was Moses, the servant of the Lord, had made in the wilderness. Like we can say, he went to the church. Amen? He went to the place of fellowship with God. And look at what he did. He did something that is extraordinary. Listen, if you go extraordinarily with God, God will go extraordinarily with you. He's a faithful God. If you can embarrass God with what you have, God is going to embarrass you with what he has. God is a faithful God. He's a good God. And look at what Solomon did. But David had brought up the ark of God from Kajajerim to the place David had prepared for it. For he had pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem. Now the bronze altar that Bezalel, the son of Hori, the son of Hur, had made, he put before the tabernacle of the Lord. Solomon and the assembly sought him there. And Solomon went up there to the bronze altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of meeting, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. 1,000 burnt offerings. One of the concordians I read said, the equivalent of that in today's dollar is $325,000 just one day offered unto the Lord. Hey, that was an embarrassment. Even his father did not do that. He offered 1,000 burnt offering. It was explained that when the blood of the offering was flowing, it was flowing like the river. Like the river. And God cannot just let it go like that. God cannot just let it go like that. If you do something that is extraordinary, you will move the hands of God. Amen. If you offer yourself unto God as a burnt offering, if you as a living sacrifice, if you surrender, say, God, I surrender all unto you. You wait and see what God will do with you with that surrender, with that act of surrender. You wait and see. What will be the outcome? You can say, God, I don't want to struggle with this again. I don't want to struggle with my riches. I don't want to trust in my achievement. I don't want to trust in myself. But I want to trust in you. I want to give you all. I want to walk with you. I want to serve you. And wait and see if you are very honest in your heart as to doing that. Not having any ulterior motive. One thing that one mistake we can make is to tell God, I'm going to give you $1. I'm expecting $1,000 by the end of the month. You don't give me $1,000 at the end of the month, then I know you are not a living God. You will be making a mistake. Because you don't do trade by barter with God. You allow him to do whatever he's going to do. And his judgments are true. Anything God will give back to you in return, you don't have any regret for it. It's not good when you want to give to God and you are giving to God as you are expecting him to give back to you right there, and you are telling him the measure of what he has to give back to you. Even when you give God your time, even when you give God your talent, you don't have that kind of expectation. But allow him to take his place. Allow him to rule because he's a suffering God. Allow him to take charge of all that you have. And then wait and see what he's going to do. Look at it here. After Solomon did that. Listen. The Bible recorded in verse 7 of 2 Chronicles chapter 1. On that night, God appeared to Solomon. On that night, God cannot sit like that on his throne. God cannot see. God say, who is this man, Solomon? Ha! His father had not done this. Saul, the first king, cannot do this. David, with all that he did for me, cannot do this. Who is this Solomon? In that night, God said, it's not going to be in the morning. I must not let this go. It's hard now. It's hard now. I must do something. I must do something. I must do something. And he rose from his throne. And look at what he said. Look at what he said to Solomon. I love this. Can somebody embarrass God with something? Try this. Embarrass God with something. Hello? Embarrass, do something extraordinary. Do something what somebody had never done before to God. Do it. Think of something that no one had ever done. And wait and see how God is going to do something to you that no one had ever received. He is God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't think that he did that in time of Solomon. He cannot do it again today. God can do more than that. Because he's able and he's abundantly able to do all. On that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask what I shall give you. Just like you go to somebody, Bill Gates comes to you and bring a check, a blank check. Say, you have done something great for this nation. This is a blank check. Write anything you want. This is a blank check. Write anything you want. Write. Open check, write. You can't run his account. You can't run. Even ordinarily calling a bank, Big Gate calling a bank, I am Big Gate, and they can confirm this is Big Gate. And if he could just say, give her 1 billion. Just at his word. At his word. What else? What kind of collateral are you looking for? When I was working in the bank, as a clerical officer, after my secondary education in Nigeria, there are some customers, when they walk in the banking hall, the accountant will just call us. You leave all you are doing. They will just call you. He will walk in. He's not going to go and sit down like an ordinary customer. No. He will walk in. As he's going in, this, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Welcome, sir. Yes, sir. Welcome, sir. Yes, sir. Welcome, sir. The security body knows him. He's walking inside. He's going to the manager. He's going to the accountant. He's sitting down. They call the clerk. Come here. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Go and do this. You go and do all the transaction. You do it fast. You bring the money in a sack. They will tell you how to do with the money. Either go take it to his, trunk or boot. I don't know what to call it. They mess up everything.
They got one truck, they woke up one boot. They said, go put it there. You put it there, the man gorgeously can just, maybe at the end of the day, you look into your account. You see certain money credited to your account. Who credited this money? It's one of those customers. They just credit your account. They are not the kind of customer that will just, when they just come, they give them money. Do you know one surprising, when I was in the bank, there was one of the customers that came in, and they asked us to go get him money. We got the money. I look at his account. It was red. It was red, but he came in, got money that day. Hello? Overdraft. They don't need to tell him, bring this. No. This man is the bank. He himself is what? An institution. The Lord will bless you. Money is not yet money. And they don't let them know I'm rich. Ah. When you are rich, they will know you are rich. And there's nothing they can do about that. It's not yet money. Ah, don't let them know they will kill you. Who will kill you? If you are rich, it's when you are not yet rich. Go hide this, go hide that, go hide that, go do. Ah, no, don't use that. You want them to know you are rich? What kind of house are you building? They will know you are rich. It's not yet money. It's not yet wealth. If it's real riches, real wealth, they will hear. They will know. They will see it. God told Solomon, tell me what you need. Tell me what you need. And I'm going to do, tell me what you need. And we are told that Solomon did not ask for long life. Did not ask the life of his enemies. Did not ask for more money. He asked God for something that will benefit the people. Wisdom to rule his people. Some of you, if you have that opportunity, God knows your heart. I know some of you, we are saying, if God can give me money, Pastor, you need not to even preach at all. You see all these projects you are talking about? Allow God to give me money. I will handle it all. If you cannot handle the 1,000 God has given you, handle it all. You think you can handle $1 million and handle it all? Let me tell you something. Brother, let me tell you something. God knows your mind. God knows what you are going to do if you are a millionaire. God knows what you are going to do if you are very rich. God knows what you are going to do if you become a king. God knows you very well. You cannot hide before God. The pursuit of life without God is emptiness. The pursuit of life without God is vanity. And you're going to see how Solomon handled this situation. It will take a man after God's own heart to be able to handle this kind of situation, giving you an open check, asking you to ask anything you want. And Solomon said to God, you have shown great mercy to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, let your promise to David, my father, and there will be no time for me to read all these things, because that's not where I'm going. But you have heard little about Solomon. So eventually he asked God for wisdom. Verse 10, now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before these people, for who can judge these great people of yours? Then God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king, wisdom and knowledge are granted to you. And I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like. Because he asked God for something that will benefit the people. He had the mind to serve the people. He had a servant heart. And God said, I will add in addition. And this is in accordance to the word of God. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. If you have the heart of God in handling riches, in handling wealth, listen to me very carefully. God will allow you to enjoy it. Not all the rich people enjoy their riches. Do you understand me now? Not all the wealthy people. Some people, the riches that they have,
the word that they have is their God. They never enjoy it. They worship it. You will not worship riches. You will not worship wealth. Anything God gives you, you will enjoy it. In the mighty name of Jesus. 1 Kings chapter 4. 1 Kings chapter 4. The pursuit of life without God is what? Vanity is empty. 1 Kings chapter 4. I want to read from verse 29. Verse 29. Well, let me first read from verse 21. Now, look at how God now blessed Solomon so much. Solomon had everything he wanted. Everything he wanted. And that's why when we now go into read Ecclesiastes, you will understand where I'm coming from. Then you understand this message. If you can understand this introduction, you will understand this message. And at the end of the day, you will allow God to take charge of your life and all that you have. Verse 21. So Solomon reigned over all kingdoms from the river to the land of the Philistines, as far as the border of Egypt. They brought tribute and served Solomon all the days of his life. Now, Solomon's provision for one day. I don't know who can do this now, this generation. Now, listen. When he's going to feed the people in his palace for one day. Are you listening to me now? I don't know if you can cause this. Was 30 cores of fine flour, 60 cores of meal, 10 fatted oxen, 20 oxen from the pastures, and 100 sheep, besides deer, gazus, rubocks, and fatted fowl. For he had dominion over all the region on this side of the river, from Tasha even to Gaza, namely over all the kings on this side of the river. And he had peace on every side, all around him. Not only that, he had all these riches to feed the people, he had peace. He enjoyed this thing. Solomon enjoyed. Amen? Solomon enjoyed. He had time to enjoy all these riches God gave him. 100 sheep. One time to feed people. 100 sheep. If you keep one sheep, you know how many people there can feed? 100. Not mentioning some other things. Fowl and all those other small things. Just one day. Now, look at 1 Kings 11. 1 Kings 11. Now we will now quickly journey to where we are going. 1 Kings 11. Are you with me? Please don't sleep. The pursuit of life without God is emptiness. If you are pursuing anything, you leave God behind. You don't allow God to take over. You are in trouble. The pursuit of life, the pursuit of dreams, the pursuit of your visions without God is Titanic. You will lose it all if you don't allow God to reign. From verse 1, but King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sodomites, and Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clung to this in love, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. Why wouldn't they turn away his heart? 1,000 women. Big trouble in the house. 1,000. Solomon enjoyed. Now, let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Open with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Now, have you heard a little bit about Solomon? Have you? Now? Okay. This man that enjoyed, this man that had all the money, all the wealth, all that he needed. Peace. Everything that Solomon needed, he had it. This same man now had a trouble in his heart. And he was thinking that with all this thing I had in my heart, with all this thing I have in life, yet it's all vanity. Yet I have not been able to even comprehend no satisfaction in all these things that I had.
Ecclesiastes chapter 1. So we're going to be reading one by one. Solomon is portrayed as one of the wisest foolish men in biblical history. One of the wisest foolish men in biblical history. He had all that he wanted. At the end, he messed up everything. Ecclesiastes reveals Solomon's vain struggle to discover a meaningful existence. He was thinking, what is the meaning in all these things? With all that I have, with all this wealth, yet I still have crave for more. I still long for more. Look at the level of technological development in the world today. Yet we are still trying to discover more and more. If Solomon could come in our time now and come down in this world and see how far we have gone in development, he will say, wow. But do you know, yet we are still developing more. No rest for us. We still want more. Every day, new development. The little baby I have over there, that truck, man, it's loaded. It's no joke. What do you want you don't have there? Give it another 3-4 years. New one will come out. We'll be so loaded that you wonder, this one, I have to throw this away. If you bring the one 10 years ago near the truck I have outside there, the owner will look at it and say, wow, take this out of that. Take it. Don't compare it. Take it out. Take that 10 years old. Take it out there. Hello? But people are still discovering more. This one I have here, you know, look at this machine I have here. This is a phone, right? It has internet. It has this. It has that. It's so loaded. I cannot use all the function in this phone. I need to carry the manual to remember some functions in this phone. And yet, we have not gone to, we are still discovering more. We are still developing. People are still making research. Look at how much they have gone in medical research and breakthrough. No less. People are still pumping money into research. They are still discovering more and more to make our life better. Solomon thought of all these things. With all this breakthrough, with all these things at our disposal to make life more comfortable, yet we are still longing for more. Hello? We are still longing for more. Every man at his best is vanity. Every man at his best. If you pursue life, you leave God behind. You pursue all these earthly things. You pursue all these physical things that will perish one day, and you leave God behind is vanity. Solomon chased his earthly dreams. Each time a dream was brought to fruition, he cried out all his vanity. Let us look at the world focused on achievement through the eyes of Solomon. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. What does man gain from all his labor? He said. This is going to be projected on the screen now. At which he toils under the sun. A generations come and generations go, but the heart remains forever. Is that not right? What do you gain with all this running around? What do you gain? All this labor, what do you gain? What do you gain? What was Solomon thinking about his dreams and accomplishment? He felt frustrated and insignificant as the sum total of all his dreams and accomplishment left him frozen. That with all this achievement, with all these women at my disposal, with all this wealth, with all this wisdom, it's all vanity. We all have seen something we desperately wanted, right? Something that you wanted. Something that you say, if I can have this thing, if I can get this degree, if I can build this house, we cannot comprehend what God is doing. We say, oh, if I want this thing, if I get this, if I get that, and then you eventually get these things. After you have spent all your energies and all your time on this thing, surprisingly, when we get it, we are left frozen. Despite all our efforts, it didn't seem to really make a difference. It didn't seem to make a difference.
Solomon became utterly disappointed as he observed all his accomplishments. He was disappointed. When he looked at all that he has done, he was reigning all the region. Solomon was, he reigned as far as to Egypt border, African border. He reigned. He was the superpower of his time. Then he sat down in verse 10, chapter 2. I deny myself nothing my eyes desired. As a king, anything he wanted, he got it. I refuse my heart no pleasure. Anything my heart want, any pleasure, he got it. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. Yet, when I surveyed all that my hands had done, and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Nothing was gained under the sun. We're going to lose all. It's all vanity, right? Solomon felt hopeless because he couldn't straighten out a twisted world. He couldn't count what was lacking. He cannot count everything that was lacking. Because anytime he desperately wanted something, and he put in all his energy, he put in all his time, and he got that thing, he discovered at the end of the day, it's what? The pursuit of life without God will end in disaster. Because it's going to be vanity. There's nothing wrong in being wealthy. There's nothing wrong in having riches. But if you don't use this to honor God, if you don't give God glory in all that you have, you will regret it. You don't have up to what Solomon had. And so that's why you have to listen to Solomon. Let us look at life through the eyes of Solomon. Look at life through the eyes of Solomon. Don't allow what you have to drive you. Drive what you have. Control what you have. Don't allow the wealth that you have. Don't allow your certificate. Don't allow your profession. Don't allow your riches to drive you. Don't allow it. Control. Be in charge. Control these things. Allow God to use these things. When God is in need of it, release it to God. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 15. What was twisted cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. Listen, as rich as America is, this America, time will fail you to count what is lacking in this country. What they need in this country. Look at ordinarily this earth care something. This earth bill something. Do you know how many people that are in this country without earth insurance? And when they are saying, let us do it, some people are saying, don't do what? Do what? Let them struggle. After all, they have been surviving since these days. Why do you want to come and change it? We don't need that change. That is going to displace some people. Do you know how many things people lack in this country? Solomon said, then we fail him to count all that people lack. With all his wealth, there is still lack in his life. Because all zero down to vanity, everything. He has wisdom to know how things ought to be, and yet he couldn't make a difference. Brings frustration with all his wisdom. 3,000 proverbs with all his wisdom. 1,005 songs he wrote with all this problem in his generation, and he cannot solve this problem. He was frustrated. He was frustrated. Do you know what I'm talking about? As a professor of mathematics, for you not to be able to solve a mathematical problem is a big frustration. You may not understand what I'm talking about. You are a guru, a mathematical guru, and they're giving you one little bit of a mathematical problem, you know, that calculus or whatever you call it, and you cannot find solution. You'll be able to rest until you get a solution, right? But you try and try and try, you cannot find a solution, it's frustrating. It's a big frustration. Sometimes people wonder, why should these people commit suicide? They're tired of life. With all the wealth and it's all trouble. Let's keep looking at what Solomon's saying here. Hello? Will you give me time to finish this message? I should keep firing. And you will come next Sunday. Hallelujah. Amen. We have made so much discoveries in the last 50 years than in the last 2,000 to 5,000 years. Right? We have made so much discoveries. So much. 5,000 years ago, there's nothing like plane, right? But now, boom, you can be in Nigeria. You get to Atlanta, within the next 12 hours, you are in Nigeria. They'll just be telling you, you are so thousands above this, you are so. Each time I pray, I say, God, this so thousand. And they will tell you the speed of the jet. They will tell you the speed. You say, God, you are awesome. Nothing must happen. They'll be looking for our pieces all over. Nothing must happen. That's how technology can take us. That's how it can take us. You can phone somewhere, you can phone. Even when I came to this country, if I'm going to call my wife sometimes, I will either call her in the office, or I have to call somebody, to go and do somebody. Sometimes when, I remember in those, they say collect call, all of us will go to NITED, we go and sit down there, they say collect call, somebody is calling from America, we sit down, we spend time to travel to, either you are in inland or anything, you have to all come to Lagos Island, you go, you see the collect call. This is AT&T. And then the person is talking to you. But now, even the woman selling Gary in the market is answered. It's somewhere here. Hello! Hello! Hey! When I finish selling in the market, I will call you. Put it back here. Technology has gone everywhere. Everybody is carrying this everywhere. With all this achievement, we see what more is vanity. We see what more. I want to talk of email. You talk of text messages. People can sit down in the church right here and be online, right here in the church, right here, and you think he's listening to the message. As I'm saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah! He's looking at all the, amen, amen! And he's busy on the internet. He's busy right there. He's busy. He's sending messages. He's answering questions. He's scared. But his own hallelujah is louder than everybody. But with all this, however, we are no happier. Are we happier than the people of Solomon's time? With all this achievement, are we happier? Oh God, we are like Solomon. Our dreams have come, have become our lords. They possess us. Fear of losing them is our biggest nightmare. Fear of losing your status. What I call sustainability is the biggest nightmare of anybody. Fear of losing what you have. Fear of driving a car and you cannot drive it again. It's a big fear. You want to kill an old man? Take the driver's license from that woman. And you cannot drive and drive again. Or you're telling somebody you are too old to drive. Ah! The world seems twisted far beyond our ability to salvage it. We are living in a world so full of doubt and uncertainty. Like Solomon, we feel helpless and insignificant living this kind of world. Exodus 2, verse 9 to 5. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. Solomon said, is it projected? In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I deny myself nothing my eyes desire. I refuse my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work. And this was the reward of all my labor. Yet when I survey all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Then I turned my thought to consider wisdom and also madness and folly. What more can the king's successor do than what has already been done? I saw that wisdom is better than folly, just as light is better than darkness. The wise man has eyes in his head, while the fool walks in the darkness. But I came to realize that the same fate overtakes them both. Then I thought in my heart, the fate of the fool will overtake me also. What then do I gain by being wise? I said in my heart, this too is meaningless, for the wise man, like the fool, will not be long remembered. In days to come, both will be forgotten. Both educated, not educated, rich, living in America, living in Nigeria. At the end, they will both be what? Like the fool, the wise man too must die. Like the rich, the poor man too must what? In our world today, we emphasize our accomplishment than our failures. You know that? We emphasize, hey, he has achieved this, he got this. We don't even see our failures. Let us see the history of King Solomon. He attended the throne, he did all those things, and then he looked back on all this and he said, at the end, though he was wise, he was rich, he had all these things, he died like any other person, like Saul, like David, he died. And then, this is the aspect I want you to think of very carefully as we journey to these things. The pursuit of life, the pursuit of achievements, the pursuit of dreams without God is regrettable. This is the aspect that touched me. Each time I read this place, one time I read this place, I told my wife, I said, listen, we're going to sell the house we have in Nigeria. I told her that we're going to sell this house. Because see, I sat down one day, I look at my children. They look more American than Nigerian. I said, would they be able to go back to Nigeria to take over this building I have in Nigeria? Right now, I have to call. Did they put money in the bank? Did the tenant pay this thing? I said, how long will I do this, God? But when we are building the house, I was so happy. Hey, I'm building a house. I'm decking my house. When I read this place, touch me. There's one thing that I will not regret. Even at the time I was doing anything for this earthly house, I was also working for God. Amen? Amen. I was not robbing Peter to pay Paul. So those of you robbing Peter to pay Paul, you will regret it. The money is supposed to give to God. Send it home. Let us build a house. Instead for you to attend to God's project, don't listen to pastor. He has a house in Nigeria. He has a house in America. He just bought Mercedes-Benz. Are you listening to him? But let me tell you one thing very carefully. I will not deprive working for God to gather anything in this world. God must come first. If no one will rise, I must rise. Because I will remember my beginning. And each time I read this place, there's nothing I cannot give for the cause of the gospel. Because I don't know what will happen to me if I pass any time. What will happen to all I will leave behind? I don't know. And that is why, right now, those of you that have children, give your children education. Hello? Don't listen to them. When they come to you and tell you, hey, daddy, I want to be cooking. My daughter told me that. I'm telling you here, I want to be chef. You will be chef as an hobby. As what? My dream for you is to be a medical doctor, a pharmacist, a professional. Either nurse or engineer or accountant, a professional. Hello? And then the money you get there, you can use that money to cook because daddy can eat. Hello? Daddy can do what? But under my roof, at my watch, you will not go to that chef school now. You never know what will happen after you depart. The people think he's my best friend. I will take care of my children. Hello? There's no friend like Jesus. My wife is there. She will toss. If I pass right now, I thank God for everything. She will take care of everything. Do you remember pressure? If they pump pressure, we thank God she's in America. But forget about what you have in Nigeria.
Because family will come and tell us stories. When did they marry you? Now, let me explain to you. You see, our son loved us so much when he was alive. They will chase her away. If she can just carry her children along with her. Hello? God will bless you. Look at what Solomon said here. It's just all for everybody. This is somebody, we are looking at the achievement in this world through the eyes of Solomon. I don't know if anybody is here who have achieved like Solomon. I don't know if anybody is here. The art of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Don't trust in your riches. Human confidence is vanity. Don't trust in people. That way they will take care. What are they going to take care? Look at what he said in chapter 2. So I hated life. Because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless. A chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. Listen, you will leave it to people after you. Anything. Your children, your wife. And you don't know who's going to take over. I pray when you pass, madman will not take over your wife. Or when you pass, mad woman will not take over your husband. See, all these things you say we achieve, it takes somebody who is wicked and mad to blow it like a wind in a moment. Everything you have been doing with your husband and taking care of everything, it takes one madman or one mad woman to blow everything. And then the children will be naked, empty. Because you don't know, listen, you don't have control over there. If anybody is telling you, this is the Bible. If anybody is telling you, well, you die. And my father is looking at me in heaven. The eyes of my father, I know. The eyes of my father. Tell me, who can tell us the story? Where your father has gone. And he had come back. Or your mother had gone. He had come back to this world. And he's controlling all the world. But God, we control. Amen? We take care of you. But if you think that somebody will go over there and be controlling the world he left behind, I have not seen one that will be controlling the world that he left behind. I'm not saying that God will not take care of you. Don't misquote me. Are you listening to me now? But according to Solomon, you never know who is going to take over what you will leave behind. That is the Bible. Even your children, your wife, your properties. You never know who is going to take over when you depart here. That is why when you pursue anything in life, any dream, any vision, any kind of thing in life, please, let God be there. Put God first. Trust God. Don't trust in those things. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool. Verse 19. Yet he will have control over all the work into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. This too is vanity. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. Verse 21. For a man may do his work with wisdom, right? With knowledge and skill. And then he must leave all he owns to someone who has not worked for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What does a man get for all the toil and anxious striving with which he labors under the sun? All his days, his work is pain and grief. Even at the night, his mind does not rest. This too is what? The more money you have, the more bill you will pay. The more unrest you have. It takes more time to count $1,000 than $10. Hello? It takes more time to spend $1 million than $1. The more money you have,
the more pressure you have.
Praise the Lord. Let us be wise. The pursuit of life without God. If there's anybody here, you are looking at wealth, you are looking at riches, as if it's the end to the means. I'm a rich man. Forget about these SU people, these church people. We don't need Jesus. It's vanity. We are talking of Solomon. I have told you some things about Solomon. How much it's going to cost him to feed the people, how much wisdom he had, how much knowledge. He said, anything is at once, he will give it to the heart. He has the opportunity to do anything. He's so rich. He had everything he wanted, whatever you want to call him. But then here he was saying, all is vanity. He doesn't want it to fight someone on earthly properties. He doesn't want it. If you are here and you want to engage somebody in fighting on earthly properties, I'm not saying you should be a fool or just let them take it. No, I'm not saying that. But if you want to fight and you fight on earthly things as if it doesn't worth it. It doesn't worth it. And if you are the type that want to rob somebody all the time, you rob them of their rights and their properties, you rob them as if you yourself are going to be here permanently, it doesn't worth it either. Let's make life so simple. Solomon simultaneously pursued his dream and his destruction as he overburdened and overtaxed the subject of his kingdom to make his dream come true. When he died, Israel split into the northern kingdom and southern kingdom. Israel never regained the splendor of Solomon again. The trouble is all over there. Let me tell you, you know when David wanted to build a house for the Lord, the temple, right? God wouldn't allow him to do that, right? And what did he do? He gathered all the materials for building the house. And then Solomon did what? If you read that structure, how beautiful the temple of Solomon was. Where is that temple today? It's vanity. It just as if Solomon was prophesying here. That all these things, I don't know what I'm going to leave this thing for. He left those things for mad people. Where is the temple of Solomon now? That's what we are talking about. Look at this synagogue we are in here. Look at this synagogue. Over 100 years, right? When they were building this place, I know that the people there, the dream was a serious dream. I see how, when they were doing the groundbreaking of this place, the photo is there. Those people that were doing the groundbreaking, they left it here. They left it. I don't know how long they've been keeping it. They left. Those who sold it said, we don't need that garbage. That proof. I kept it. It's a good thing for me to talk. Now they finished building this place. If they had told them, I want you to understand the difference between evangelical and Judaism. It's no joke. There's a case in court now. I told you in one of my sermons this last month, right? About a case in court now, a couple fighting on take my child to church. No, take it to synagogue. And they are fighting. They are in court now. Because the woman will not allow a daughter to be taken to church. So look at what did that. I'm not preaching religion. But let me tell you, imagine this. If the people that built this place, in their consciousness, in their dream, that it will be taken over in sometimes by the so-called people of Jesus Christ, and also immigrants, and also black people. Look at the history of Chicago. This area, if you see the map, this area is no touch by the black people. But that they want some black people will occupy this place, and people with accent, and people touch, they will not spend their $1. They will not contribute anything. But look at it. They left it for some people. The people needed the money. They came in. When we are closing this place, from money, they didn't want to release the key.
Because the people, I mean, this place has been kept like historical place for long. They kept it, they were eating it, keeping it. And by the time they released, so those people, just to use it for some time, those people, I don't know how they managed, boop, put for sale. They needed the money. It was a big trouble between them. But Jesus eventually came out victorious. Brethren, if you pursue anything without God, it's vanity. Either it is business, either it is degree or whatever you are thinking of, it's vanity. Anything that you know how to enjoy, look at it. When you finish enjoying that thing, sometimes I look at life, why is it that we have to eat? Even when you go for all you can eat, you will eat and eat and eat. After a while, you have to go to the toilet. Because if you don't go to the toilet, it's a problem. You need the prayers. Then you finish going to the toilet, and after a while, you want to eat more. Then you go back and you eat, and you eat. And you look at all these things, all this rigmarole about life. What do we gain in it, in these things? I think it was yesterday, my mother-in-law was telling me, I wanted to eat, I said, I just want to eat. I don't want to put meat there. She said, eat meat now. She told me. She told me, eat meat now. And somebody was trying to echo it. Said, time will come when you don't need it. That is the vanity of life. When we were young, we were looking for anything goes. We eat all our clothes with food, with all this food, anything we eat. But right now, even at my age, I can't just eat anything anyhow. Not what the doctor will tell me. Hey, don't eat salt, don't put too much of. Yes, this morning, we are looking for honey. We didn't know honey finished from the house. My mother-in-law said, use sugar. I didn't even want to answer at the time. I can't tell you when last I took sugar. Because I don't want to wait until doctor will tell you this, don't do this, don't do that, or your wife will be telling you what is happening to you. What is wrong? Hello? You don't want to wait until that. Or until they tell you, walk gently. No, you don't want to do that, right? You cut down all these things. But then, one thing we continue. You have to use energy, right? We have to walk. You never see somebody who go to office and say, because I cut down my eating, I don't eat too much, I don't want to work in this office. Or because I don't eat too much now, I don't need the salary. Okay, you see, go get the salary, right? You see, get the money. Yet you cannot eat too much, right? Where are this money going? And when they tell you, spend this money for God, I don't spend it. Money is liquid. If you don't spend it, someone else will spend it. Because money is not money when it is not spent. Even the one you keep in the bank, somebody is going to borrow it, is using it. Hello? It's all vanity. Some of you are here, you have seen money before. There are people here that have seen millions before, right? Millions. You have seen millions. You have carried millions like this. The first time I saw hundreds, I carried hundreds, naira. Hundreds. In those days, I look at myself. I was, in fact, the way I push myself into the bank, you think that, you think I'm carrying millions of, but to me, it's big money, right? But some of you have seen millions, right? Okay, how are you feeling now? It's nothing to you, right? It's nothing to you. So those of you that said, oh, I want to get this degree. I must get this degree. And you get that degree. How are you looking? How are you feeling now? Let me tell you, when I was pursuing my master's at IIT, when I was pursuing this master's, it was like one big, it's like when I get that master, I'm going to paradise. This is how I was feeling. I'm serious. I was feeling like that. Each time I see people graduating, when I see them graduating, you know, they graduate. When I see them graduate and they put on their Then, oh man, I'll be God. One day I will put on my own. Because the lecturer, they behave as if not all of you will get this degree. That's how they will be behaving, you know, like as if, you know, some people will say with pride, this school, certain percentage always graduate, certain percentage, some people will withdraw or something like that. They say some things. So, you know, then you look, am I going to graduate? But ask me now. I get the degree now. Some of my colleagues that finished with me in the school, they will hang their own degree in their office. They put it, they hang it there. Somebody came to my office and looked, I said, well, didn't you put your own there? I said, I don't just feel like putting it there. I don't just feel, do what? No, he's giving me money. I'm putting, yeah, he's putting me money, putting money in my purse. Even if I put it there, what Solomon said is this, it's vanity. Ah, the Lord will help us. What I'm saying is that let us have new look about life. Don't pursue achievement as if it is do or die. Don't pursue riches as if it is do or die. Please, put God first. Have God in your plans. Amen? Because you will go back to God. In God we move. In God we live. In God we have our being. You will all go back to God. I am not saying don't enjoy. Enjoy. But remember, some people have enjoyed before you. Some people were here before you. And some people, let's continue to read what Solomon said. Look at chapter 12, verse 13 to 14. Now all has been heard, right? Have you heard everything? So far, we have journeyed through chapter 1 to 12. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Solomon said, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Do what? Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Keep God's commandment. Solomon was saying this because he failed in the aspect of keeping God's commandment and he paid dearly for it. We read it. All those strange women turned his heart away from God. He started well, he ended in disaster. That will not be your portion. Let's continue to keep the commandment of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom to handle life. He will give to you. Fear him and keep his commandment. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Anything that you are hiding, God will bring it to judgment at the end of the day. Any secret things you have done in the secret, God will bring it to judgment. Fear God and keep his commandment. Amazingly, God allowed Solomon to accomplish all of his earthly dreams. He also gave him the wisdom to see the shallowness of his dreams, to see the emptiness of his dreams. Conclusion. Before I go to conclusion, there was something Solomon said. I think I should read it to you, then we can just go to conclusion. You know, we know of certain the knowledge about ourselves and the knowledge about the universe. But all this knowledge is overwhelming. We cannot comprehend what God is doing. In chapter 8, verse 16 to 17, Solomon said, when I apply my mind to know wisdom and to observe man's labor on earth, his eyes not seen sleep day or night, then I saw all that God has done. No one can comprehend what goes on under the sun. Despite all his effort to search it out, man cannot discover its meaning. Even if a wise man claims he knows, he cannot really comprehend it. There are things happening to us that we cannot understand why these things are happening until we do the right thing and until when we eventually see God.